Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks and Nihei Debiru. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. On Saturday, I made the drive to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to take part in the International Shuriryu Association's annual Kabuto Seminar. The director of the ISA, 10th Dan Hanshi Robert Bowles, led the training, going over traditional kata, interpretation, and application for the bow, sai, and tonfa. It was a great seminar with very good turnout, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone when it rolls around next year. One of the great things about events like this is getting the chance to catch up with karateka from around the country that you don't get to see that often. After the seminar, I was chatting with Josh Carter and Joey Johnson, who's the head of the Academy of Okinawan Karate's branch in Morton, Illinois, when we realized that a few months back I ran into one of Joey's former students while in Wisconsin at Neil Stoltzmark School. This started us reminiscing about old times, so I decided to flip on the recorder for a very impromptu interview. A few minutes in, my first teacher, Joey's stepfather and owner of the Academy of Okinawan Karate, Shion Joseph Walker, walked by and joined in the discussion. He told us about his very first judo class, traveling to Phoenix to train with Grandmaster Trias, and a few adventures he had in Japan. The discussion was cut short when Hanshi Bowles realized that we were the last people in the training hall and asked us to wrap it up. We're planning on having both Mr. Johnson and Shion Walker in for a more formal interview in the near future, and I'm also working on getting Hanshi Bowles in as well. To find out more about the International Shuriryu Association and Hanshi Bowles, go to www.shuri-ryu.com. To find out more about Robert Bowles Karate Academy, go to www.bowleskarate.com or call 260-456-7788. To find out more about Shion Joseph Walker, Joey Johnson, and the Academy of Okinawan Karate in Peoria, go to www.peoriakarate.com. Visit the school's page on Facebook or call 309-692-2499. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the show.
All right. Now it's official. You're officially a guest on Chop Talk.
Woo!
All some of the greatest karate men in the world have been guests on Chop Talk.
You've had quite the list already.
Yeah. So yeah, we're at the Kabuto seminar in Fort Wayne. Mr. Bowles puts on every year. What'd they say? How many was it? 18 years?
He said this was 18.
Scoot in, buddy. Also got Josh here. I haven't worked out with these guys for a little while.
How long has it been since you moved?
Moved to Cincinnati in 2010, the end of 2010.
Yeah. So 4 years. Yeah. And, well, we've probably been together two or three times in that.
A couple times. We've got together at a few seminars. Mm-hmm. So you're running the... First of all, let's start. When did you start karate? Do you even remember? Were you still an infant?
I do remember, actually. I got my gi as my birthday present on my 5th birthday.
Okay, okay.
Now, I didn't get to go to class that day, but it's actually a pretty cheap present when your stepdad owns a karate school. But yeah, they gave me a gi on my birthday.
Was he your stepdad at that point?
He was.
Okay, so let's go back even farther. Let's go back. So you came from a whole karate family. So your oldest brother, Tony. got involved in the martial arts, right?
Yes, Tony started because my cousin started in Taekwondo somewhere.
Okay.
My mom didn't want to take Tony to a Taekwondo school, and she found the Academy of Okinawan Karate.
What was the issue with the Taekwondo school at that point? I mean, now she's been indoctrinated.
Obviously,
yeah. Okinawan Shoryu Karate is the best, but at that point?
I think she watched a class, and she just didn't like how the class went. She didn't like the... Now, I don't know that for 100%, but as I recall, she just didn't enjoy and think that there was a lot of structure in the class. So she looked around and she found the Academy of Okinawan Karate, and he started in classes. And I think it was a couple years later, my older brothers, Alex and Ben, started. And I started about a year after them.
Okay.
Not quite.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, and that was my fifth birthday, so that was 1990.
Wow, okay. And, you know, I found the school in a similar way. I think it was your grandma who recommended to my dad that my dad took me to that school. And that's how, you know, how I got started.
Because you were both in Washington.
That's exactly right. So my dad was a pharmacist in Washington. And I think somehow it got brought up. She mentioned that her son-in-law runs a karate school or something like that. And that's how we found out about it.
And that was... 20 some years ago.
Coming up on 20, 1995. So it's been all
weird how that kind of stuff brings you about.
Yeah. But so we got here for the Kabuto seminar today. We went over some good katas. So we went over three traditional katas. The one I had never seen, the Sai kata I had never seen before. It was, what was the name, Josh?
Sokan.
Hohan? No, not Hohan. That's the guy.
That's the guy. And it was Sokan no Saidai. Sokan no Saidai.
That's it. Sokan no Saidai, which I had never run before or seen before.
I hadn't seen it before. I would like a little bit more history on it. I know he said it, Grandmaster Trias had a video of Hohan Sokan. Did he say he was running this kata?
No, I think, was it that kata or was he running the bow kata? I thought he said he had a video of...
Tokumini no Kon.
Tokumini no Kon,
right.
With
yep.
the Ishinryu, the founder of Ishinryu, whose name I yelled out and now I can't remember.
Shimabuku.
Shimabuku running that.
But, yeah, that's right.
But this Sai kata, it was real nice. There's some real different moves that I hadn't seen before from the Sai katas.
I enjoyed working the bunkai of a few of the pieces of those different... different techniques.
Yeah, you know, that was a real nice touch for the seminar, because a lot of times in the seminars you don't have time for that. You're going to learn the kata and okay, that's it. Okay, everybody rush off the next thing. But we were really able to take the time to work it. And you know, Josh, you and I were working the bunkai together, and we got through quite a bit of it. We're doing it at a nice clip, you know, hopefully. So, yeah. And then
I was just going to say, and we were also able to get some correction on it too. So, you know, not just go through the movements and learn the basic kata, but get some corrections on it, figure out how to do the techniques more effectively. Yeah, the Sai kata was definitely my favorite part, but the whole seminar was a nice seminar.
It really was, and I liked the time. The time also worked for me because I could drive here in the morning. It started, and I can drive back home tonight.
Yeah.
Even though it's 3 hours, you know, you don't have to. Because when you are traveling, doing that stuff, the hotel fees add up. If you're eating out every night, it adds up. If you're on the road constantly, you know, for a few days.
Yeah, it becomes a pricey trip.
It could literally be $500 or $600 to come up and go to a weekend long seminar, which, you know, it's in my pocketbook. by the way, if anyone's listening, they need to start buying stuff from our advertisers so I can get money. Then I can actually afford to go to more places. But the bow kata was Tokumini no Kon. That's a nice kata. I've seen it before. It does great in tournaments, but I'd never run it before.
I had just learned it earlier this year. It's probably April, so I've only had it for a few months. It's a very interesting kata also. There's some repetition, but there's also a number of different techniques. You got that longer strike from the end of the bow, the drop down to one knee. A couple small things that when I learned it was slightly different, but overall, the same kata, very, very nice, good kata.
And the guy who, and Tokumini himself, also is an interesting guy, because he got banished.
Are we just chatting?
No, we're recording an episode.
All right, then I'll...
You want to jump in?
If you want me to, I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a seat.
I was listening. You can sit here.
So we're chatting about the katas we worked on today. So Tokamine, that's, I had never worked that before, but I'd seen it as a real good kata.
It's a beautiful kata, and it's a interesting story because Tokamine got. Were you already saying that?
Yeah, we just started that when you came up. Tell it.
Tokamine got into an altercation with the police in Okinawa, and he used his bow and injured several police officers, and so they sent him to an island to live alone. And but certain martial artists got to the island to learn the kata and brought it back.
Yeah, I think that I read that Motobu and Kian used to bribe him with sake for their for their lessons.
I think Motobu did study with him. I think Kian studied with him. That sounds like something Motobu and Kian would do.
Yeah. and yeah, then he got banished to that island, so somebody had to go out before he died and learn this kata.
It may have been Kian.
That sounds
Shotoku
right.
Shotoku Kian. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
And then he taught Tatsuo Shimabuku and other people.
And then the other one who worked, which. We had worked before. I think Josh, you ran it too. It was Matsuhiga, so that was real nice to run that again. Well, it was one that was the one I was familiar with, so I could actually follow along and not get lost.
Once again, a couple of small things that I did a little bit different when I learned it. Great kata though. I've seen a couple different variations of Matsuhiga and Tonfa.
But the other thing we were talking about was when Joey started karate.
That was a while back. Did he tell you about his first lesson?
No, he didn't.
He was, all our kids took an introductory lesson, just like everybody else does. He was our only kid when I said, was that fun? He goes, yes. I said, do you want to do it again? He goes, no. What? He goes, you don't want to do it again? He goes, no. And so we went home, and the next day everybody said, hey, can we go outside and play? And I go, yeah, well, wait a minute, no. Wait a minute. Do you do karate? Yeah, go outside and play. You do karate? Yeah, go outside and play. Do you do karate? Yeah, go outside and play. You do karate? No. You don't do karate? No. You better stay inside where it's safe. And then, you know, after lunch, they go, can we go out in the park? Oh, yeah, you go. Wait a minute. You do karate? Yeah, go ahead. You do karate? Yeah, go ahead. You do karate? Yeah, go ahead. You do karate? No. Well, you better stay in the yard with the dog. The dog will keep you safe, you know. You know, by the end of the week, he came and asked me if he could do karate.
Wow, it's amazing that blackmail and bribery work.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa specialists in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com. Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
Well, how about you, Shion? What was your first lesson like?
My first lesson in martial arts was in judo. And
because it didn't let kids at the time. You were eight, I want to say eight.
I was 8 years old. I wanted to do karate. I found a karate school. We walked in and they said, kids can't do karate. It's too dangerous. You need to do judo. Judo is safe. It's throwing, pinning, choking, arm locks. So that's much safer for kids than punching and kicking. But the way karate was taught then, you didn't want a kid in that class. But my first class, I bowed down, I warmed up. I remember my first class. I bowed down, I warmed up, and they said, okay, lay on your back, put your feet flat, put your hands crossed above your face, slap the mat. Do that again. Do that again. Keep doing that, I'll be back. An hour later, they came back and they said, okay, line up, we're bowing out. And that was my first class.
Now, did they forget about you, or was that the lesson?
That was everybody's first class.
Okay.
And then for 1 month, all you did was falling. Hmm. And at the end of the month, you were pretty damn good.
Sure.
But a lot of people quit.
Yeah.
I never had the concept that you could quit, though.
Now, at that time, so this is, let's get the year. This is 1960?
1960.
Okay, literally 1960. So at that time, the karate was becoming more popular. Judo still was fairly popular.
Most people didn't know what karate was.
Okay.
Most people did know what judo was. Karate didn't become well known until, really, when Bruce Lee got on Green Hornet about that time. Now, I'm not saying Bruce Lee was the total reason, but about that time,
okay,
that's when people started knowing what the hell you're talking
about.
This
is mid to later 60s as opposed to...
Yeah, mid 60s to, yeah, okay. 68, 69.
Okay. And then, so when you get 15, you're able to switch over.
When I was 15, I went to the office and I said, I want to switch to karate. And they go, you've been doing judo forever. Why do you want to switch karate? I said, well, I always wanted to do karate. They go, you should have said something. I said, well, you told me I was too young. And they said, oh, we changed that a long time ago.
Now, were there other kids in the class that were younger than you? It's like that, you know, that 20-year-old, you know, looks awful short. Must be a midget.
Yes, but karate and judo were on different nights.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I didn't usually see the judo class, a karate class. I saw the judo class. And the majority of the people were not younger than me. And when I did see the karate class, it was the advanced karate class, and then they weren't younger than me.
Okay, so there's all adults, black belts, brown belts, stuff like that.
Right.
Okay. And how about Grandmaster Trias? So when you went out to see Grandmaster Trias for the first time, when?
1969, I was a yellow belt. My sister lived in Flagstaff. My aunt lived in Phoenix, Arizona. And I convinced my mother to go down to Phoenix, Arizona. We were in Flagstaff and convinced her to go down to Phoenix, Arizona. It was a Sunday. I went knocking the door. A guy met me at the door. And I said, I just wanted to see the USK headquarters. And he said, okay, I'll introduce you to Grandmaster Trias. And I went, So
you're a 15-year-old yellow belt who's heard about 16 by now. 16, you've had a birthday.
Yeah.
Who you know you heard about his legend, right?
Yeah, right. And believe me, at the dojo I attended, none of the high ranks were there on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But since they lived at the dojo, I had no way of knowing that. But they had a little fence around the outside of the dojo area, so we walked around and he got even with the door of the office, and he said, "What rank are you?" And I said, "Yellow belt." And the guy looked really disappointed, and I said, "Shishikyu." And then he looked real happy, and he walked in, and he bowed, and he said, "Sensei, Joe Walker, Shishikyu from Peoria." And Sensei looked at him and goes, "What, Ross?" And he goes, Joe Walker, Shishikyu from Peoria. And he goes, oh, hi, Joe, come on in. And he shook my hand. He had these great big giant hands. He shook my hand and said, are you a member of the USKA? And I was so happy I spent the money to join the USKA. Said, oh, yes, sir. He said, okay, good. What can I do for you today? I said, well, I just wanted to see the headquarters. And he said, well, Ross, show him around. And so he showed me all around the dojo, including the... pens out back where the chimpanzees live. And
were the chimpanzees in the cage?
They were in the cage.
Okay.
Charlie and Jane.
Okay. Now, we need to talk a little bit about the chimpanzees.
Okay.
So he had monkeys.
Had two chimpanzees. That for a long time, he just had Charlie, and then he added the female. And I guess Charlie was half chimp and half something else.
Baboon,
yes. Thanks, Josh. Half chimp, half baboon.
Okay.
And after they showed me around, since they took me to breakfast, it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I thought that's kind of an odd time to eat breakfast, but you know, that's when since they ate breakfast. Mm-hmm. And we got talking about this, that, and the other. And he said he was teaching the chimpanzees judo. And he said Charlie would bow on the mat.
Okay.
And he could break fall. And he would, if you threw him with a foot sweep, he would take the fall. But if you threw him with a shoulder or hip throw, he'd flip over and land on his feet. And Sensei was talking about entering.
Did they have gis and everything?
I have no idea. I assume so.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I think so.
What rank were they?
I know when Charlie acted up, Sensei would choke him with the collar choke. But when Charlie was argumentative, Sensei would choke him.
Okay.
And so yes, they did. He did have a gi, and Sensei was talking about entering him in a judo championship. Because he checked and the rules said you had to be a male judoka, and he was male, and they had to be at least a certain age, and he was that age, so
okay.
he was talking. I don't think he ever did it.
No, if he was, he may have been in the kids' division though too. there's a big difference between an 8-year-old chimp and an 8-year-old kid, also.
You would not want to mess around. I mean, Sensei was a giant. At least, especially in my perspective at the time. But since I was 6'3", he was 240 pounds. Especially back then. I mean, people didn't tend to be that big. But anyway, you would not want to get in the ring with this chimpanzee. It would be hard to handle.
I can imagine every couple of years on Oprah, they always had the lady who got her face ripped off,
yeah.
or the fingers bitten off, or something like that.
Well, since he was going to put a muzzle on him, so that wouldn't be a problem.
Okay. when he entered the tournament.
Yeah. Again, didn't happen, but he talked about it. Dale Benson and I, every time we get together, we sit around and talk about how fun it was to hang out with Sensei. Mm. And we both agreed that the karate was all extra. Mm. It was just hanging out with him was so much fun. And he was just a fun guy. Somebody would tell a joke, and then we would tell it over and over. We'd tell the punchline over and over again for a week. Anytime things got boring, we'd just say the punchline, everybody'd laugh. Mm.
And so you went out. So the first time you rode out with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now the second time, was that the time you hitchhiked?
No. I would have a hard time telling you which one was the time I hitchhiked, because I went out quite often. I drove. I hitchhiked. I flew. When we'd go on a vacation, all vacations. We'd go to Disney, take the kids to Disneyland, but we'd go by the way of Phoenix,
okay.
and we'd come home by the way of Phoenix. So
okay.
I'd get a training in, one way or another. I did hitchhike out there one time and spend a week there. Any way I could,
sure.
I'd get there.
Sure.
Mawari no hito ni sa wo sukete mimasen ka? あなたの体は休息を必要としていませんか? Sports Massage 健康の Specialist Medical Resort ATAC を一度トライしてみてください ATAC ではお客様の体に合わせたマッサージを行います また ATAC の酸素室にもトライしてみてください 代謝向上、怪我の早期回復に効きます 柔軟性を高めるストレッチングコースにもトライしてみてください ATAC はプロチーム Rukyu Golden Kings、FC Rukyu、そして Rukyu Corazon の選手も利用しています。ぜひ一度ご来店ください。オープン、月曜日から土曜日まで、沖縄県那覇市、オロク 1-28-30。電話番号 098-859-1890。ホームページもチェックしてみてください。www.sanso-atac.com www.sanso-atac.com 英語、ポルトガル語、スペイン語、日本語が話せるスタッフがいます。Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
And you went to Japan with him twice?
No, once to Japan with us. Since
You tell. The year was?
86. We went to Japan, Okinawa, Hong Kong, Korea, and then we spent a week in Hawaii to rest up. We didn't really want to spend a week in Hawaii, but we really had to.
Poor things.
Yeah. But Sensei loved Hawaii. He really did. Now, Sensei's Hawaii was go to the beach, go to the room. Go to the beach, go to the room. You know, there wasn't a lot of sightseeing. It was, you know, hang out on the beach and
decompress from the, from the trip. Yeah. I heard that on some of the trips, I think Rick Awad got into this a little bit. There was a little bit more going out, partying. On the ones you were on, it was pretty focused on the training, right?
Right. Well, Sensei was he had been sick, and he had gotten better, and it turned out to be 3 years before he died. And it was not the partying that 76 was. A lot of going to dojos. They do a demonstration, we do a demonstration, and then there would be sparring.
Which dojos did you do? Something in Okinawa? The ones in Korea people might not recognize, but.
Well, the Korea was the Kukiwon, the world headquarters of Taekwondo. So most people know about that.
Sure.
We went to Mr. Hisataka's dojo in Tokyo.
Okay. Is he the one who does?
He's the head
Koshki.
He's the head of Koshki, and that's where George and I fought Koshki for the first time. And George Sheridan and I were the fighters on that team, and we fought Koshki for the first time there, and became the first Americans registered as Koshki fighters.
Oh wow.
And then in Okinawa, the dojo where we ended up having matches was Shinjo's Sensei's dojo.
Okay.
And that is the Weichiru dojo that is most famous for sparring.
I think his nickname was the Okinawan Superman.
Well, he was a really nice guy in that we were all in a hotel. And in the hotel bar, and we were all chatting, and I had my gi bag with me, and he looked across the table and goes, "You came to Okinawa to work out." And I said, "Yes, sir, I did. So you come to my dojo Tuesday, and we will work out." And I said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but we won't be here Tuesday." "You come to my dojo tomorrow." And so we went the next day, and we thought it was going to be, you know, a couple people, but I think there was at least a dozen black belts.
Oh wow!
And one of his green belts, who is, and his the gentleman who's a green belt was a paraplegic. He's still active in the martial arts. He is a black belt now, and they put on a demonstration, and then we got to spar with some of his people. And a good time was had by all.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that's great that he, you know, made a bunch of calls during the day, so you guys had a chance to really went out of his way.
Yeah.
You could have.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Well, he could have looked over and saw my bag and said, you know, not mentioned it, but he went out of his way to be welcoming to somebody he just met.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Where else did you? So you visited the Kukiwon. Did you guys get a chance to work out there?
Or? No, the day we visited the Kukiwon, they were testing 1,500 people for black belt, all children.
Wow!
And 1,200 would pass. It was predetermined that 300 would flunk. So
did they choose a 300, or is it just like whoever's in the back, you guys are out?
Whoever had the lowest scores, and we were sitting in the stands watching. We were sitting with the Un Young Kim was the head of Taekwondo at the time, but he was out of the country.
Okay.
And we were sitting with the number two guy in Taekwondo, and they would come up and they would run their kata in one ring, and then they'd move to the next ring and they'd do sparring, and all the sparring would be done from that the closest they get to each other is 5 feet away.
Okay.
But it was continuous sparring. And they actually looked good. It had nothing to do with actually timing or anything. It was just continual kicking.
Okay.
And
was it something similar to our... not the form sparring, but the
first and second level kata sparring.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Because there was no timing involved. Okay. It was just they sparred for 2 minutes and they did nonstop kicking for 2 minutes. Mm. And I assume they were graded on the quality of their kicks. Mm. But it was just kick, 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 kick. And the other guy was doing kick, 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 kick at the same time.
Okay.
And now I'm sure they did other things. But that we sat through a long, you know, we watched, I don't know, maybe 100 people go to both rings, and then we had other things to do, and we moved on.
Well, that must have been the trip that you were there with George Sheridan. You guys had the adventure at the Emperor's Palace.
Yeah, that would be right.
Yeah. I don't know that the Japanese government that does broadcast in Japan. I got a lot of listeners, but I don't think any of them are cops. So
okay. Well, George Sheridan, Kenny Keegan, Al Barbieri, and Maria Evans and I went. It was the first day. We just got there, and we went to the Emperor's Palace to see the Emperor's Palace.
Just landed in Tokyo. Is this your first time out of the country?
Well, the first time in Japan. I've been to Mexico.
Okay.
You know, first time into Japan. And so we go to the Emperor's Palace and we see the Budokan, which is adjacent. And then we go through this gate. And when you go through this gate, they give you this round plastic, it looks like a really small disc with a number on it, I guess to keep track of how many people are going in and coming out.
Okay.
And then there's a pyramid there. And we go up on this pyramid and we're looking around and... but we can't see the palace. And so I run into a Caucasian and I said, "Where is the palace?" He said, "Well, do you see those trees there?" Yeah, I go, "Yeah." And he said, "It's on the other side of those trees."
Okay.
And I said,
"Now, are you past?" Because the other thing is, there's a giant moat around the whole thing.
Yeah, we're on the other side.
You're on the other side of the moat. Okay.
Right. Right. The Budokan's on the other side of the moat.
Okay.
And so he said, "But you can't ever see the palace." And I said, "Well, you know, we didn't come here to not see the palace." So I went over by the trees, and there was a little gardener guy, and he was running up to his gardener shack and coming back and running up and coming back. And, you know, he left, and I thought, well, you know, it seemed okay if he went to the gardener shack. So I went up to the gardener shack, and I was looking around, and there was a little wire about a foot off the ground. It was just one wire. I thought, you know, they didn't want me to step over that. They would have made it higher. Mm-hmm. So I stepped
over. Or electrified.
Yeah. And perhaps or bar. Perhaps it was. But I stepped over it. And pretty soon I came to a fence that was up to my armpits. And I go, well, I better not climb over that. And I look over, and there's another moat on the other side of that fence. Mm-hmm. And so I can see kind of a roof. And suddenly I hear, "Joe, Joe." And I look down, there's George, and he says, "Get out of here, cops are coming." And I go, "George, that's not even funny." He goes, and I look, and I see the trees, I can see his face, and he's serious. And I thought, oh, I better get out of here. So I put both my arms up, and I run through the leaves and the branches and everything, get out of there. And a little tiny Toyota comes, and then, you know, you've been to the circus, and the little car comes out, and like 20 clowns come out. Mm-hmm. Well, these clowns all had clubs and guns. And they divided into two groups, and they were coming at George and I from both directions. And I'm going, the only thing I think of is, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Uh-huh. And so I started taking pictures. So we're getting kicked out.
Yeah, he said they need to close up.
Wrap up. Okay. You want to finish this story, and then we'll go out. We're pretty close to getting wrapped up.
All right.
So we'll get this one, and then we'll pick it up in a future episode.
Okay. Anyway, I started taking pictures, and they ran past me and ran up by the fence, and then they ran away, and we started leaving, and as we had to leave, I had to give the pass back, and I just in my mind, when I gave them that little disc, I could just see the handcuffs coming out and getting me. But they didn't, and we left, and then the trick was I had to get back to the Grandmaster Trius and tell him what happened before somebody else came and told him what happened, so I looked bad. So I had to figure out how to say it so I looked good. I'll tell you how to do that, how I did that some other
time. Okay, we'll have to wait for that one. All right. Well, Sheehan, thank you very much.
No problem.
Mr. Johnson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all for this week's show. Thanks to Mr. Johnston and Shihan Walker for chatting with me on such short notice, and to Hanchi Robert Bowles for putting on such a great seminar and bringing everyone together. Again, to find out more about the International Shuri Ryu Organization and Hanchi Robert Bowles, go to www.shuri-ryu.com. To find out more about Robert Bowles Karate Academy in Fort Wayne, go to www.bowleskarate.com or call 260-456-7788. To find out more about Shihan Joseph Walker, Joey Johnston, and the Academy of Okinawan Karate in Peoria, go to www.peoriakarate.com. Visit the school's page on Facebook or call 309-692-2499. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Nihei de biru and mata ya. Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.